Good evening. Great to see you. Great to see you online. Hello, welcome. My name is Lex. In case you don't know me, I'm part of the team here at Metro. It's so good to be here with you, although only online. We really miss you here in the studio. Feels a little bit empty. We've still got the Christmas decorations up because it's so empty without you. We miss you. Come back to us soon, please. But wherever you're watching from, we hope that you are really engaging with tonight's service and that actually the Holy Spirit is with you wherever you are. And I hope you really enjoyed that trailer. That is the last time you get to see that because this is the final part in our series, Game Plan. I don't know if you noticed on this series, on the trailer, but there's that little thing that says, keep your soul. And that is what we've based this whole series on. In all of the talks that we've had before, we've had this verse from Deuteronomy, which says, only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life. Now, this is what we've been basing this whole series on, talking about keeping our soul. Actually, what does it look like to keep our soul and to keep our soul healthy? Now, maybe that sounds a little bit weird. We're kind of used to, we know we need to keep our bodies healthy, particularly at the moment where we're stuck at home. We need to be going out for that daily exercise, getting that exercise and eating well. We know what it looks like to look after our bodies, even if we maybe don't do it as much as we'd like to. But actually, what does it look like to keep our soul, healthy? And that's maybe a bit of a different question that we've been looking at. But I don't know about you. I know what it's like when my soul isn't healthy. I can feel that. If I just take 5 minutes to sit and be, I can feel that my soul isn't healthy. It kind of jumps around from place to place. I feel a bit frantic. I feel a bit chaotic. I don't feel peaceful. I don't feel at rest. But in those times where I have been doing these things that we've been talking about, where I have been keeping my soul, I can tell because I feel a lot more at peace. And that is why we've been doing this series, because that's what we want for you. We want you to be people whose soul is at rest, who just go through life with this aura of peace and just knowing that your soul is at rest in God. So that is why we've done this series, and we have made it super, super practical. Just because things are spiritual doesn't mean that logic has to go out the window. Sometimes we can over-spiritualize things, but actually, sometimes it's really important to just go back to the basics, go back to something super practical, use that logic, and make sure we're keeping our souls really healthy. So this series is called Game Plan, and we have this amazing acronym that stands for God and Me Exercises. Now, I'm sure you know that by now, but again, maybe you're hearing it for the fourth time and you're like, oh, it just sounds really simple. It sounds really basic. Well, you know what? I'm convinced that faith is really simple. It's meant to be simple. It's meant to be accessible to everyone. Jesus doesn't want anything to get in the way of that relationship with him. But just because it's simple doesn't mean it's easy. Just because it's simple doesn't mean it's easy. But that is why we've done this series, making it super practical, and we've broken it down, and we're giving you commitments and keys to help you be people who can keep your soul and be people who have that really strong relationship with Jesus, because that's what we're after, isn't it? Give me some love in the comments if that's what you're after. I want to see you commenting. I want all of your thoughts and reflections in the comments. I'll have a look after, so do be sending lots of emojis and lots of thoughts in there. Love to know what you're thinking. But, so, as I said, this is the fourth part in our series. We had Philip kicking us off, who was talking about spiritual disciplines and having a rule for life, and actually how we don't fall into spiritual health, we fall into spiritual unhealth. And so actually we need to be keeping our soul diligently and keeping our eyes on where we want to go and being really strict and practiced about these things. Then we had Sam, who was talking about reading the Bible and actually how that is the one thing that sustains us, and actually we need to be going deeper, wider, and longer in our Bible, that is going to draw us into that deeper place of God and the thing that's going to sustain us. And then last week we had Kate giving a great talk about committing to the body of Christ, committing to meeting with others on a Sunday online or in hubs during the week, but committing to being people who do this journey alongside others, because it makes it so much easier. Trying to follow Jesus on your own is a nightmare. I do not recommend it. So get connected to your church. But this week, the set wouldn't be complete if we didn't talk about prayer. Now, I don't know what your thought is when we talk about prayer. Some of you are thinking, oh gosh, I knew this one was coming. Actually, this is the one I find the hardest. This is the one that I just can't get down. I've tried so hard to get into that daily rhythm of prayer, but I just can't do it. Some of you are thinking, what even is a daily rhythm of prayer? I didn't know it was a thing you did daily. I thought it was just the kind of thing you did before a big meeting or before an exam or something where you needed that help, just something in the moment, not something you did daily. Or some of you are thinking, actually, yeah, I love prayer. I feel like I'm okay at it. Actually, my prayer life is quite good, although I think it could be more. I don't think anyone, wherever you're at, I don't think anyone is ever fully satisfied with their prayer life. Is that right? I know I'm not. I know that my prayer life is not all that it could be. And hopefully that's reassuring for you today. I'm not someone up here who's saying, I've got it all right, I've got it sorted. I absolutely do not, but I'm trying. But I think we can all agree that we want to get better at prayer. But also, we can probably all agree that it's quite hard, right? So today, we're going to be talking about actually how we can go deeper in that daily devotion of prayer. As Philip said in his talk 3 weeks ago, the best person to look at in all of these things is Jesus. At Sunday school, he is the answer for everything, and he is the best person to look at with these spiritual disciplines and these rules of life. But actually, some of you are thinking, oh gosh, my prayer life isn't anywhere near that of Jesus. He prayed all the time. My prayer life is probably closer to that of my dog. It's fairly non-existent. It's just not there. Please don't tell me about Jesus' prayer life, because that's not where I'm at. And actually, none of us feel like that's where we're at. None of us feel like we pray like Jesus. He was the Son of God, so I think you're okay in thinking that. But actually, today, instead of looking at something, looking at Jesus, we're going to look at the disciples. This feels a lot more relatable, and actually it's really interesting and unpacks a lot for us, and it's really helped me in my prayer life. So we're going to take a passage from the Gospel of Luke, comes about halfway through in chapter 11, and it says this. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that really fascinating, but also really reassuring. The disciples are people who hung out with Jesus all the time. They were people who were specifically, individually selected by Jesus. And when this passage comes, Jesus had already sent them out and he'd given them power and authority to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and to preach the kingdom of God. And they're still struggling with prayer. I don't know about you, but for me, that is really reassuring. These are people who hang out with Jesus all the time and they still struggle with prayer. This is 11 chapters into the book of Luke. And they still haven't quite got it. I'm sure you can all relate to that. I'm sure you feel exactly the same. Now, for the disciples, maybe it was that actually they'd been watching Jesus pray and they were thinking, yeah, my prayer life is okay, but it doesn't look like Jesus. Maybe that's how you feel with your prayer life. It's okay, it's fine, but it doesn't look like Jesus' prayer life. Or maybe in the 11 chapters leading up to this, they'd been trying to pray in their own strength, but actually they'd been failing. They'd been really trying really hard, really knuckling down, be like, this week, this is the week that I'm going to dive into prayer. I've been there. I have been there so many times that I've just thought, okay, this is the time that I'm going to crack prayer. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it in my own strength. But that's not how it works. That is not how it works. And the disciples, when they realize this, they come to Jesus and they don't say, Jesus, we're not you, we're not the Son of God, we're never going to pray like you, that's fine. Or they don't say, we're clearly not prayers. We're clearly not prayers, so we're going to give up. What they do is they ask Jesus to teach them how to pray. They humble themselves and they know that Jesus' help is the one thing that is going to help their prayer life look more like that of Jesus. We need Jesus' help because it's really, really hard without it. We try so much in our own strength, trying to set up that daily rhythm of prayer. But in our own strength, it just doesn't work. I'm sure you can agree. But isn't that what prayer is? Prayer is all about relying on Jesus and asking for his help. So why do we not do it for our prayer life? Why do we not ask for his help in our prayer life? How often do you pray for your prayer life? Maybe that sounds a little bit weird, that's praying for your prayer life. But that is something that is really important to be doing, because without Jesus' help, we're really, really going to struggle. Prayer is great, but it can feel really, really hard. And you know what Jesus says when they say this to him, when they ask, they come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? Jesus doesn't turn around and say, you know what, guys, you should have got it by now. It's really easy. You should be able to do this. I can't believe, come on, it's really easy. I know that voice. I hear it in my head a lot when I fail at prayer. Maybe you do as well. But that is not what Jesus says at all. Jesus is so kind, and he looks at them and he says, when you pray, say. And then what he does is he gives them this amazing prayer called the Lord's Prayer. And it is basically a template prayer for how we should pray. He gives them the words, but actually each of the words correlate to something else. So the prayer says this: Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. So he gives us this amazing template prayer. And each of these things stands for something. So it stands for God's goodness, God's kingdom, my need, my sin, and God's help. This is basically what our prayer life should look like, praying into these five different areas. And I'm sure a lot of you, if you've been around church for a while, you've heard this, you know this. But if you're new and you're new to faith, Philip did a really great talk on the Lord's Prayer back in May, I think it was, in our series, Secret Keys to Happiness. So if you want some more information on the Lord's Prayer, do go and check that out. Or you can get a mentor. One of our mentoring sessions focuses on the Lord's Prayer. But some of you are thinking, yeah, I've heard about the Lord's Prayer. I know the Lord's Prayer. And I've tried to use it in my prayer life. I've tried to ask Jesus for help with my prayer life. But it's still not what I want it to be. I'm still not getting that traction. I maybe go through seasons of being really great at prayer for a couple of weeks, and then I kind of tail off a bit. Or actually, I pray for about 5 minutes in the morning, but that's not as much as it should be. I want to be praying more than that. Well, actually, the Lord's Prayer, it's really easy to just take it and think, great, Jesus has taught the disciples how to pray. This is it, the Lord's Prayer. That is it. I'll take that and go. But if we look again at the passage, and if we go deeper, like Sam told us to a couple of weeks ago, we see something really, really important the disciples noticed when they were watching Jesus pray. And if we go back to the passage and bring up this word teach. Now, if you want to go into the Greek, I can recommend the Blue Letter Bible. It's really great for going into depth in the words. So when I looked at it, actually this word teach is the Greek word didasko, which comes from this verb to learn, dao, which is talking about a prolonged form of learning. It's not a one and done kind of thing. It's a lifelong learning. It's something that we have to commit to over a longer period. Clearly, the disciples knew just by watching Jesus or even trying in their own strength that this wasn't going to be something they were going to get in an instant. Now, as I said earlier, so many people, they try praying and they try it for a couple of weeks and then they just give up because they're not Rob Scott Cook level. They're not a prayer. Now, let me tell you a secret. Prayer is not one of the spiritual gifts. It is not something Jesus just wants to give us. It's something he wants more than that for us. He wants it to be a lifelong adventure that we get to go on with him. It's something that we have to work on. Earlier, as I said, it's simple, but it's not easy. It's something we have to work on over a lifetime. But the disciples, just from looking at Jesus, clearly knew that it was worth it. Just looking at him, they asked him to teach them over a lifetime. Maybe that's what you need to do. Just sit down and look at your prayer life and think, maybe I need to try again and maybe I need to commit to the longer term. It's kind of like reading in some ways. When we learn to read, we start at the very beginning and we need someone's help, right? We need someone's help continually when we're learning to read. And so we start at the beginning and we start probably with Biff, Chip and Kipper books. I'm sure most of you did. But we start at the beginning and we don't give up when we're reading those books because we can't read Shakespeare. Actually, we really enjoy those books while we're reading them, but that is not where we stop. We continue to press on until we can read other bigger things. But actually, some of us, a lot of us in fact, with reading, we kind of get to maybe uni age and we can read well enough, and that's where we stop. Maybe that's what it's like with your prayer life. Your prayer life is fine, it satisfies you, and it's good enough. But people like my grandpa, I don't know if you're watching, but he loves learning new words. He is 86 years old, sorry if I'm wrong. But he loves learning new words, partly so he can beat me at Boggle. But he loves learning new words and is constantly pushing himself and learning even new languages. What would it be like if we were people who weren't just content with our prayer life as it was, but we're continually pushing into more and not giving up just because it didn't look like Rob Scott Cook. Rob Scott Cook is someone who is amazing at prayer, but he started somewhere. He started probably with a daily 5 minutes and then worked up from that point. And I'm sure he enjoyed each prayer as he prayed it. It's not just about looking to the future. It's about enjoying those times of prayer that we get, but also always pushing on to something bigger. Now, I think my prayer life, I can testify to all of this, that my prayer life has reflected all of this. I was looking in my journals the other day, and 2 years ago, pretty much to the day, I wrote in my journal, that I wanted to go on a journey of prayer. Now, if I'm honest, my prayer life is still not at all what I want it to look like. But it's better than it was 2 years ago. And I'm glad that I have stuck it out because I've grown and that has been amazing. Actually, since January, I've started doing the first thing I do every morning is just spending a couple of minutes in prayer, just asking God to fill me with his Holy Spirit. And it's changed my day. Honestly, sometimes I don't do it, sometimes I forget, and I can tell the day is just not as good. I'm not as loving a person. I'm not as intentional with things. It's just a lot harder. But actually, the days that I have started in prayer are so much better. And sometimes I can only manage a couple of minutes, but I'm committed to growing in prayer and stepping forward every day, just taking each day as it comes, enjoying that prayer time, but pushing on to something more. Because Jesus is growing in me this thing that is convinced that prayer is the thing that changes everything. It is so, so important. We need to be a church who get hold of prayer, because without prayer, nothing changes. We know in the story from Ellie, that was so powerful. Man, I nearly cried. Ellie, we love you. But it was prayer that made all the difference. She was living in that place of darkness and depression. That is so hard. But it was just 2 minutes of prayer that changed everything for her. Prayer is the way that we harness the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is what does stuff like that. It's what makes changes and what moves the church forward, that transforms cities, that brings workplaces to life, that does all of these amazing things. When I was chatting to my dad the other day, telling him about this preach I was going to do, he said that he was thinking the other day, and he came to the conclusion that a prayerless life is a self-sufficient life. Actually, when we're not praying, it's because we think we've got it on our own. But I know for me that without God, my life is not going to amount to much. Actually, God has given me some great skills and gifts, but without using them with God and without doing the day with God, my life is not going to amount to much. But with prayer, I've become this powerful person that I can bring change and I can speak life into situations that were otherwise hopeless. How cool would it be if we were a church that got hold of that and became these really powerful people in prayer? The people who didn't want to live self-sufficient lives, because that's not big enough. That is not good enough. That is not going to bring the change that we need to see in this city, in this church, in our lives. It's only with prayer that we are going to see that difference. So we want to be people who aren't living self-sufficient lives, that are living God-reliant lives. And we do that through setting up a daily rhythm of prayer. As I said, this series is super practical, and we want to give you the keys and commitments to do that. So we said this series is game plan, and just a reminder that is God and me exercises. We need Jesus' help, right? It's God and me exercises. It's not me and God exercises, partly because that's not how game is spelt, but also because it's God first with us that makes the change. It's not us on our own. We can't do this in our own strength. So bear that in mind for all of these. So, these commitments I'm going to give you, the first one is to make it a priority. I encourage you to start every day just with a couple of minutes of prayer, just saying, Lord, I give this day to you, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and whatever is going on in your day, give it to God. Now, some of the keys that are going to help you to do that. As Sam said, buying an alarm clock, deeply spiritual thing to do. It will help you remove that distraction of your phone. We know that distractions don't help you do anything, so remove your phone, get an alarm clock, or leave your phone outside your room. If you don't have an alarm clock, maybe use your phone to your advantage. So set a reminder on your phone. I sometimes set myself angry reminders, being like, make sure you pray first thing. Don't fall into the trap of doing this. Just set a reminder on your phone to say, pray first thing. Or try using apps like Lectio 365 or PrayerMate. Actually, they're really good ways that we can use technology to our advantage to help spur on our prayer life. And the final key for making a priority is actually do as much as you can manage. As I said, when we start to read, you start simple, you start with what you can manage. If you're not someone who has a daily rhythm of prayer at all, don't try and start with 30 minutes because you're probably not going to manage that and then you're just going to feel bad. Maybe start with just a couple of lines of prayer, just a couple of, Lord, I give this day to you, fill me with your Holy Spirit, amen. Try that every morning, and then maybe next week, build on it. But start where you're at. That is going to be really helpful. The next thing that we can commit to is making it personal. God has made us all uniquely individuals. And I feel like I've learned this the hard way. Maybe you're one of those people like me that you have tried praying and you know that in all the pictures of prayer, people are kneeling down beside their bed with their eyes closed. But your mind just wanders. If your mind wanders while you're sat still, try walking. If you're falling asleep before bed, try doing it first thing in the morning. If you're falling asleep first thing in the morning, try and do it in the middle of the day. Try walking, try sitting still, try being creative. I bought a board from a charity shop, made it all pretty because I'm a creative person, so use that to my advantage. Or journaling, I find my mind wanders less if I'm actually physically writing stuff down. But God made you a unique individual, and so find the prayer style that works for you. And we have the rest of our lives to be working on prayer, so if you take a week trying to sit in silence and pray and it doesn't work, that's fine. You've got another, I don't know however many weeks in front of you to keep trying and experimenting. But try different styles of prayer. Try them for a week, and if they don't work, try something else. But find your personal prayer style that works for you. And finally, commit to praying with other people. This one is so powerful. As we saw in Ellie's story, it was someone else that prayed with her. The keys that are going to help us to do this is maybe you can find a mentor. Here at Metro, we have an amazing mentoring program that will be someone who will walk this journey with you and will pray for you regularly and will pray with you. Or maybe that looks like finding a prayer triplet, someone of your peers and someone your age and that you can just gather together and pray with. In my second year of uni, I found three girls who are so great, and praying with them and those times of praying together have been so powerful and have really helped me. Or come and join us for Metro Prayer on a Thursday morning. I know some of you, that's not going to work with your timetable, and that is totally fine. But if you can make it, we'd really love to see you. It's such a great opportunity to pray with other people and be encouraged by other people's prayer lives. I know 7:30 is early, so if you want to come but you're not sure you're going to make it, maybe text a friend and tell them you're going to be there and that they should be there and you can keep each other accountable. Or if you're really worried that you're not going to make it, maybe text Philip and I guarantee you probably will be there. So come and join us for Metro Prayer. If you can't, don't worry at all. But praying with people is so powerful. Prayer is something that is going to change our lives if we commit to asking Jesus for his help and commit to the lifelong journey of learning. If we're making it a priority, if we're making it personal and doing it with other people, it is going to transform our lives. And I cannot wait to see what happens to this church, what happens to this city when we get a hold of prayer. I really want to encourage you, wherever you are at in your prayer life, maybe stop and take a moment and think, what can I do to move forward? How can I ask Jesus to help me? And what do I want my prayer life to look like? Dream big. What do you want it to look like? But so our big idea for today is we want to be a people who are committed to the lifelong adventure of going deeper in prayer. With Jesus' help, we can do this through making it a priority, making it personal, and doing it with other people. So I'm just going to pray for us. Holy Spirit, thank you so much for this gift of prayer that you have given us, the opportunity to be able to talk with you, the creator of the universe. Holy Spirit, I just pray right now for every single person in Metro. I pray that our hearts would set on fire with a passion for growing in prayer. Lord, would you help us to assess where we're at and to just enjoy those moments of prayer that we get with you, but also to push into the more that you have for us. Lord, I pray that we'd be a people who, just because it's not easy, doesn't mean we don't go there. We know this is the one thing that is going to change our city, change our lives, change us from the inside out. And so, Lord, would you give us that commitment and that heart to push into it, even when it's hard? Holy Spirit, we just want to pray for our prayer lives right now. We want to ask for your help. Jesus, would you come and help each of us? Would you come and sit alongside us in those times of prayer? And would you teach us how to do that better, but also just how to be with you? God, we offer this up to you, and we just ask that you would come by your Holy Spirit. Would you come by your power? Will you do something amazing, God? In your name, amen.